What was really interesting is the last session, well, actually not technically, I guess, the last session, but the 87th legislative regular session, when that started, we were 9 months into this pandemic. So we were all of the agencies, all of the local jurisdictions, we were all working under these suspension guidelines for 9 months. So if you take that 11,000, roughly that means we already had about 4,500 open meetings under the suspension. What came out of the regular session is there were a lot of bills filed, and I have some just real, these are very general overviews, but you know, you had bills that were requiring agencies to broadcast open meetings live on the website. You had allowing teleconferences without the emergency requirement. And then, you know, very pivotal, allowing video conferences without requirement of a quorum present at one location. And as discussed yesterday, none of those passed. But it was interesting to see that the bills proposed were basically proposing the guidance that we were all using at the time, which to me kind of signals that for a lot of people, they were very comfortable that even with the suspension guidance, we were meeting the basic requirements of transparency under the Open Meetings Act. So at this point, Catherine's going to discuss how we implemented the suspension guidance in order to conduct the virtual meetings.
Thanks, Alice. So going into our first virtual meeting, there was a lot of tension between providing security for the virtual meeting and also having it open and transparent. So that was an item of great debate leading into the first one. So TRS chose to do our virtual meetings. The platform we chose was Zoom because it allows you to see a lot more of the participants, and there was a greater ease of sharing presentations. So right around the time we made the decision to choose Zoom, Zoom bombings were happening left and right. So our IT team wanted to close down the meeting so that they could provide a smooth virtual meeting for our trustees, but we also had to have it open. And so we used the guiding post of what do we do in person for our meetings first and transfer that into the virtual world. So our boardroom is open to the public. So our virtual meetings must be open to the public. So we determined that if there was a Zoom bombing, we would, so our, our IT team wanted to have a very tight meeting and only the people who were going to be presenting and needed to attend to have the password. But we determined that we needed to publish the password and allow people to attend and have measures in place so that if there was a Zoom bombing, we could shut it down as quickly as possible. We went as far as even having a practice of a Zoom meeting with staff coming in and disrupting the meeting and practicing shutting people out. And we established that the meeting administrators had the ability to kick somebody out of the room, the virtual room, if they became disruptive, very similar to if we had an in-person meeting and a person became disruptive in the room, we would have security remove them. The other aspect is, so we did publish the password to the meeting on our agendas that we posted with the Secretary of State. To reduce the risk, we posted the agendas on our website and put in there that if they wanted to attend the Zoom meeting to contact a specific person for the password, because at that time we were hearing that the Zoom bombers were scraping websites, identifying where there were meetings, and then getting the passwords there. And that was how they were getting access to meetings. And when somebody contacted the person to get the Zoom password, we encouraged them to view the meeting on our webcast. So TRS has been webcasting our meetings for 10 years now. And so the attendees were very comfortable with going to webcasting to view it. And just as a point of interest, the Zoom executives have acknowledged that security was not as tight as possible. They've increased their security and that they have recently settled a class lawsuit out in California for $85 million. So the bombings were a very real issue, and luckily TRS was able to provide their meetings without any interruption.